Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
I'm so glad to be with you again today. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive and well, and I think of the words of Christ where he said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And then he made this statement that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, it's so important that physically that you eat the right kind of food, and I think a lot of people are sick today because of the lack of the quality of food and what they're eating. But spiritually speaking, we need the right kind of food, and that is the very words of Almighty God. And so Jesus made a point to say every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we live by. And so every word in the Bible is important, and that's why we have this program. God Almighty, recently, atheist scientist has come to admit that there is a God, and he's a very famous atheist. And one of the reasons he said this was because he said of the complexion of life. In Darwin's time, they thought that a cell was a very simple thing, but today we know that it is almost infinitely complex. And it's hard for even an atheist scientist to look at this and say, well, it just was an accident. It just happened. And the Bible is that way. And although a person with faith and trust in the Lord can understand it at a certain level, and yet it is a picture, and it is the mind of Almighty God. And the key to the Bible, it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle, and it fits together, and the picture on the puzzle is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And so it's all about God who comes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this in 1 Samuel chapter 7. There's a very famous story, and that is the story of David and Goliath. But when you look at this story carefully, it tells more than just a battle that happened in the Old Testament. All those battles in the Old Testament picture some spiritual reality that was taking place. And this battle pictures the Lord Jesus Christ defeating the Antichrist. And it starts off, and it has the children of Israel, the people of God, were on one mountain, and the Philistines were on the other mountain. It's interesting that when the Romans conquered Jerusalem because of Israel turning against the Lord Jesus, that at that time they stopped the Jews from coming into the city of Jerusalem. In fact, if they got there, if they came into it, they could be put to death. And at that time, the Romans stopped that, and they renamed the nation or the land of Israel, they renamed it Palestine after the Philistines. And so we have this, the Philistines come up into the land of Israel, and a great battle is about to take place. And on the one side, there is the people of God. On the other side is the Philistines, and they are lined up to fight one another. You know, today you're either on the side of the Philistines, you're on the side of Satan, or you're on the side of God. One or the other, and you may not know it, but the Bible says that Jesus says, you're either with me or you're against me. And the people on the side of God have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and trusted in him, or the ones that have not are fighting in some way against him. And we see that in our society. It's very boldly shown today where you see Christians being persecuted and people venting themselves against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these two armies are lined up, and there is a valley in between them. There is a separation there between them. Now, there comes a giant that is he is the man that is representing the Philistines. He is their champion, and his name is Goliath. And if you look in this passage in 1 Samuel 17, you'll see some interesting things about him. First of all, he is 6 cubits in a span, and there's that 6. And then you look again, and it says that he has a spearhead of 600 shekels. And then you find out later on that he has 6 fingers on his hands. And so here you get 666. And it was no mistake that that was put in, because 666 is the number of the Antichrist in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And so Goliath representing the Philistines is a picture of that. You know, today our world is lined up, and it is very interesting that in the Muslim world, they worship a god called Allah. And he was an ancient god. He was the moon god, an ancient god that was in existence long before even Christ. That is, he was a god that was worshipped. And today he is being promoted, and basically it's by violence. Anybody that studies what Mohammed said, and I've read the Quran, they have promoted it by military means and so on. And he has become very powerful today. But on the other hand, on the other side is Jehovah. Do you know that Jesus' name, Jesus means Jehovah is Savior? And Jesus has the very name of Jehovah. He is Jehovah God, come in the flesh. And so Goliath then defies the armies of God, defies the armies of Israel. And he gives this challenge in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 8 through 11. He says, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And so he defies the armies of Israel. And I'm thinking, in the news, you have riots in Iran, and you have a man that claimed that he won the election named Ahmadinejad. And he said he has promised to destroy Israel and send a missile with an A-bomb into Israel. And he says, if we destroy them, even though they have missiles and they destroy us, there's a lot more of us left, and we'll continue on. And so he has defied the armies of Israel. And God, Goliath has challenged, makes a challenge. Today, there's a lot of, even in the United States, a lot of anti-Christ, anti-God speaking out against Jesus Christ and against God's people in our country. And he says, give me a man. He says, if we kill him, then you'll serve us. And if you kill me, then we will serve you. You know, you can only, you're on somebody's side, and you're going to serve either God or you're going to serve Satan, whether you know it or not. And God doesn't, God makes this very clear. We're all on one side or the other. We're all working for the kingdom of God, or we're working for against the kingdom of God. And in the United States, you see it. Every election that takes place, there's a lot of talk about Christianity and about religion. And so which side are you on? Have you made your choice? Are you on the side of Jesus Christ? Or are you on the side, the opposite side? Now, in here, we see a picture in this chapter of Jesus all the way through the chapter who will defeat Goliath. Now, first of all, he is pictured by David. And David was an ancestor of Jesus. The whole Old Testament is held together by the line of Christ. All the stories and all the history is put together by the line of Christ. And so David is in the line of Christ. And first of all, he was a shepherd from Bethlehem in verse 15 of our chapter. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. We don't keep ourselves, we don't keep him, but Jesus keeps us. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a wonderful thing that is. Jesus said, I'll never kick them out. And then Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then he adds in another place, he says, my sheep, I've lost none of them. And millions of people have put their faith and confidence and trust in Christ, and he has never lost one of his sheep. That's what he said. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. And then David was from Bethlehem. And so the Bible says Jesus Christ was from Bethlehem. In the book of Micah, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, who shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." You see, Jesus was God, and he always was, but he was born in Bethlehem. And then David was sent with bread from his father. And his father says, "Go and take this bread to your brothers and take these cheeses to your brothers." And again, it's a picture of Jesus. Jesus said that he was the bread of life. And he said, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead, but this whosoever eateth this bread shall never hunger and shall never thirst again." That is, you get saved one time. You receive Jesus, who is the bread of life, and you only have to receive him one time. I remember in my church one time, some teenage boys came up and they got saved. And next week they came back to church and they came up again at the invitation. And I said, "Boys, why'd you come?" And they said, "We came to get saved." And I said, "Well, I thought you got saved last week." And they said, "Well, we enjoyed it so much we came back to get saved again." Well, thank God, you're only saved one time. You receive Jesus Christ one time, and it lasts through all eternity. And he is the bread of life, and we are to be nourished by that bread. And we're nourished as we read the Bible, because in the Bible we read about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David was sent with bread to his brothers. And then David has the words of encouragement. And when David saw this great giant of a man come up and defying the armies of Israel, he said in verse 25 of 1 Samuel 17, "And the men of Israel said, 'Have ye seen this man? Is come up surely to defy Israel as he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth the king will enrich him with his great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spake to the man that stood by, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" And so David says, how can he defy the armies of the living God? His God is dead. His God is an idol. But our God is the God that is alive and well. And you can go to the monuments of the other leaders of the religions. They're all dead. But you can go over to Jerusalem and you can see the place where they put Jesus. But he's not there, because he is the living God. And he warms our hearts today. He answers our prayers. He puts joy in our heart and peace in our soul. He is the God of heaven, the living God. And so when these people to defy God, they defy Jesus Christ, just remember that their life is just like a vapor, and they have a little bit of air in their lungs that they use to defy God. But they will soon pass away, and Jesus will live on forever and ever, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we can be encouraged. And as we see this world government being set up and we see people defying God, we don't have to be afraid, because we read the end of the book. And the world government and all of these organizations that are setting this thing up, they're uniting the world so Jesus Christ will take over. And once it's united under the Antichrist, it's like Jesus just says, "Checkmate." That's it. And he takes over. God says, "Yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion." And then David, when he's talking to his brothers, and they are the people of Israel, they say, "Who are you? You're arrogant. You're proud." And so they reject King David, and they reject him as their hero, as the one that is going to save their life as a people. And Israel had rejected Moses at one time. They were going to stone him, and they rejected the prophets. And when Jesus came, they rejected him. And yet Jesus' plan is that he is coming back. And the first time he came as a lamb to pay the penalty for all of our sins so that we could go to heaven without any record of sin. But the second time he's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah to conquer his enemies. And then David hears from the people that whoever slays and kills Goliath will be married to the daughter of the king and will be free in Israel. That is, he won't have to pay taxes anymore. And so it's a picture of Jesus, for Christ is our heavenly husband and the church is his bride. And Jesus said one time, who do the kings of the earth, who do they take taxes from? Their children or other people's? And the people said, well, they take taxes from other people. He said, then are we free? But he said, in order not to give them offense, pay your taxes. But in the future, we will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then David volunteers to fight the giant. And he is brought before Saul, and he said, who is this fellow? He said, I will take on the task of destroying Goliath. And Paul says, well, Saul says, you're just a young man. How can you do this? He's been a fighter from his youth up. David says, well, I've been a shepherd. And he said, the lion came and took my sheep, and I took it out of the lion's mouth and destroyed him. I destroyed the bear. I did it through the power of the Lord. And he says, I will destroy this man also. And then Saul says, well, we'll give you some armor. And David tries the armor, and he says, I can't use this. I haven't tried it out. But it's a picture of Jesus. Jesus isn't coming back. And any Bible-believing Christian never sends out armies with guns and tanks and things like that to conquer people or to force them into believing in him. The only armor that we have is the armor of the Word of God, the armor of the Holy Spirit that God uses for piercing people's consciences. Salvation is a free gift, and a person receives it freely by faith in Jesus Christ and repentance of their sins. And so David rejects all the human armor. And when Christ comes back, Christ was the one, it says, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and all things were made by him. And Jesus Christ, by his Word, brought the universe into existence. He doesn't need any guns, tanks, rockets, A-bombs, H-bombs, neutron bombs, or any of that stuff. In the final war of the ages, when the armies come against Jerusalem, will be, it says, he overcame them. It'll last about that long against our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, God says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. We'll take a short break, and then we'll come back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
It's always a blessing to hear from folks, and we have a paper that shows 100 places where the names of Jesus are taken out of the modern versions of the Bible. They're counterfeits. And we have the exact reference next to the place, like Jesus, Lord, Son of God, God, are eliminated from the modern versions. And you don't have to take my word for anything. We have literature, and you can check it out for yourself. Our number is 901-0933, 901-0933. If you call in, we'll send it to you. Books written on this subject, where the